Yes. It's amazing how intuitive our dogs, especially dogs to me, are. Our dog knows what I'm going to do before I do it. A lot of times. Have you ever felt like you've been mistreated or been accused of something falsely, or had things happen to you that, well, boy, this just isn't fair? I've got a couple of stories I'm going to tell later on. And the one, I don't know if I've ever told it here before, but it's one of the most unbelievable things that's happened to me. It's quite a story. And by the time it was all done, I kind of felt like I had kind of gotten the short end of the stick. But, I was kind of on the short end during the whole time. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. And I don't know if you want to hear about some of my struggles sometimes, but I was, excuse me, my voice is really poor this morning. I wasn't feeling well this week, so I kind of put off getting prepared until yesterday morning, and I got going, and things just weren't coming together. And it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the text I had chosen, I wasn't getting where I thought I needed to be, and I felt like I was approaching it from the wrong direction. And I think about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I told Gail, I got to start over. And most of the time I haven't used any of the texts for the week, because I usually have something in my brain before that. But then I did end up going back to 1 Peter 3 and those verses, and I did end up with something there. And I don't know if you want to hear about this stuff, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy doing this, and I treasure the opportunities, so I just thank you for the opportunities I'm given to serve in this way. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for this time that we're going to spend together. And Lord, I just pray that my voice will hold up, and that I'll be able to speak in such a way that what you have for me and for us will come through. And Lord, I just thank you again for the opportunities that are given to us, and I just pray that we'll take advantage of it, and that if anything resonates with anyone this morning, and I just pray that it'll drive us to deeper study. And I just thank you again in your name. Amen. I don't know, have you been treated unfairly in any way this week that you can think of? As a child, did your parents blame you for something your brother or sister did? You know, I was lucky. I was the younger one. My sister got blamed for everything. I had a good childhood. Being the baby of the family helps. At school, did your teacher get after you for something that the guy behind you did? Or were you the guy that was sitting behind it? Sometimes you try to explain, it just makes it worse. And there's so many little things out there that seem so unfair. There's misunderstandings. Things get misjudged. We get mistreated. And think of your past life and all the unfair deals you've received, or the unfair things that have happened to you that, through no fault of your own, it just didn't turn out well for you, but maybe it's better for somebody else. And it's how we handle these things that is important, I believe. It happens to all of us. And the way we handle it can really create a problem. You know, and our sense of justice is so keen when it happens to us. it doesn't seem as keen when, well, the other guy, well, that didn't turn out so good for him. But if it happens to us, that's a different story. And Book of First Peter, if you want to turn to that again, has a lot to say about that. But on the other hand, if we do something wrong and are punished for it, you know, we often get what we deserve. But when we suffer for something we did not do and we are patient in it, God finds favor in that. We need to be patient and to think things through and not be slow to anger and slow to retaliate. And oftentimes we're told not to retaliate. And if we're honest, not all of our bitterness and hard feelings or unforgiveness is a result of somebody saying or doing something that we did not deserve. And the Bible tells us how to handle this problem and handling through it, we can be a good witness for Christ. The most important thing about this is your attitude towards your mistreatment. And if you want to look at 1 Peter 4, turn ahead a page or two. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And it's easy at times in mistreatment to doubt whether Christ or God really cares for us. So, well, why did this happen to me? And I didn't deserve this. Why did this happen? It could make us doubt our relationship with Christ and maybe even doubt our salvation. And oftentimes we get the idea that if we've become Christians and followers of Christ, that we should be exempt from those things. And that is never promised to us. And don't feel sorry for yourself. And sticking in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And oftentimes we can feel slighted. I mean, there's so many ways that we can feel like life is unfair. Maybe you've done some nice thing for somebody and you don't get a thank you and you don't get recognition for the things you've done. You do some great things and your name doesn't show up in the paper, but that guy down the road, they wrote a story about him. He didn't do near what I did. And looking at Acts 5, verse 41, and we talk about how we should react to what we consider unfair or unjust in our lives. And we go back to Acts 5, 41, and this is Peter and some of the apostles that were with him. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And these people were rejoicing because they had the opportunity to suffer for Christ. And don't fret about it. And it's easy to really fret about these things and to let it overtake us. 1 Peter 3, verses 13 and 14. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So we are to fear God. We're not supposed to fear the troubles around us. And I know that stuff's easy to say, and we are creatures of we are children of Adam, and we fear and we strive for the wrong things. And the person who is living for God, and I kind of like this statement, the person who's living for God can be hurt but cannot be harmed. And I think the meaning there is that the long term, the short term is a hurt, but in the long term we are not harmed if we're living for God. And I'm gonna tell that story. I was driving home from Warroad this evening. It seems like I've had a couple of mishaps around the ridge east of Warroad there, west of Warroad. I got my directions backed up. I was driving home, it was dark, and I don't know if anybody remembers that two-door Grand Prix I drove when we first started coming here. This happened years before that. And it was dark, the Grand Prix had kind of poor lights, and all of a sudden there's this, has anybody ever hit a fish house? I have. I was driving home. All of a sudden, this form on the road showed up in the headlights, way too late to react. And I hit the thing, and I know that, I know that I was airborne at least for a moment or so. And I remember my headlights were kind of shining into the woods. And it's like, what was that? And of course, by the time I got the car slowed down, there was a tire was flat, and most of the undercarriage of the car was, you know, the whole exhaust system. I had a broken wheel. There was a lot of damage. It's like, what was that? And a person was coming behind me, and he had seen this, so he was able to get around the thing. And he stopped, and he was going to assist. And I said, what was that? He says, I think it's a fish house, you know, one of those collapsible things. So we went back there, and you know, the nice thing about fish houses is the name and address are on them. So this guy, oh man, he was a good guy. He gave me a ride. We found that address. It was in the Lakewood trailer park. And sure enough, some kids had taken a pickup without permission and no tailgate on it. And they'd been messing around, and they lost the fish house out of the back. And they weren't supposed to be using the truck because it wasn't insured. I mean, it was just a comedy of, it was a confluence of a bad situation. And so what do I do? I mean, I should have called the cops. That's what I should have done, but I didn't. Because that family would have been a world of hurt over some stupid thing that kid did. So I talked to the dad, and the kid was like 15 or 16, I suppose. He had a license. And I said, if you pay for the damages, I won't turn it into my insurance, and there'll be no. So yeah, they were glad. I mean, there would have been a hefty fine, and there would have been a lot of problems there. So anyway, so I got an estimate, and it was like $1,400. And the car was old, lots of miles on it. I says, well, we're going to fix it up so it's, I don't care how cosmetically perfect it is, but so it's fixed up decent, so it's, you know, roadworthy. And I think we spent about $800 on the thing. And the part, so I already felt mistreated. And then the part of it was getting that money out of them was like pulling hen's teeth. And it was like here I had to my feelings, I had bent over backwards to keep them out of trouble and to make this as easy on them as I could. And when I would pester them for especially that last, I remember the last $100 was just about impossible. And they almost made me feel like I was mistreating them by expecting them to. But anyway, so that I put that behind me finally, but I felt so mistreated. So anyway, how are we to act when we're mistreated? We're to recognize it as the will of God. When problems come, we ask, is this of God or Satan? And it's both. Satan is doing it, but Satan can't do anything if it's not allowed by God. And there are two aspects to the will of God. One is permissive, God allows it. And the other is perfective. God allows things to happen in order that he might perfect his will in us. And this is kind of a hard one to take sometimes, but if we cannot take unfair treatment, we are still babes in Christ. I don't believe we are mature. And it's so easy to be kind when others are doing kind things to us. And as it says in the scriptures, that Jesus said, even the pagans do that. They're kind to one another when it's reciprocal. And the other story I was going to tell, and this is one of those where no good deed goes unpunished. You know, have you heard that saying? I remember there was some friends of ours, and I may have told this story before. They had it was a couple, and one of them needed to go to the surgery in, I think it was down in the cities or Rochester, and they didn't have a vehicle that was really roadworthy for a trip like that. And we had an old Oldsmobile station wagon. He says, "You take the Oldsmobile and use that." And I just put new tires on the thing. And they're on the way home after, I suppose they were gone a week or so, and they got up by Gatsky, got a flat tire of all things. And so what I got out of that was a wrecked tire. But there again, it's like, oh, why do I do these things? But we're still supposed to be kind. We're still supposed to be generous with our stuff, even if it doesn't always turn out the best for you. But we're supposed to concentrate on pleasing God and pleasing Jesus. And go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And if we're trying to please ourselves or people around us, it never works out. But let's live our lives. I mean, we wanna be pleasing to other people. Don't get me wrong. But if our first goal is pleasing God, then pleasing others around us will follow suit. Sometimes we kind of get things backwards. And keep a good conscience. 1 Peter 3, verse 16. "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." It's easier to take mistreatment if your conscience is clear. If you really feel you haven't done anything wrong, and we just need to accept the fact that people are going to misunderstand our motives sometimes. But if the shoe fits, wear it. If you've done the deed and that mistreatment is deserved, accept it. And then we're also to bless those who mistreat us. 1 Peter 3, verse 9. "Not rendering evil for evil, but railing for railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." What does it mean to bless others? I think one meaning can be to speak well of others when you can, and not if somebody's mistreated you and is treating you unfairly, I don't think it's the right thing to do whatever we can to run them down or to make them seem less than who they are. And we're to show active kindness, and that's, I'm not sure if that's something that we can always achieve here on earth. It's the sinful nature is so strong in us that it's some of these things are beyond us without God's help. And according to the scriptures, we have no right to try and get even. You know, once you start trying to get even, you know, somebody's done something to you, and maybe it was unjust, so you do something back, whether it's gossip about them or mistreat them in some way, then they got to get back at you again, and you know how that goes. But that's God's job. And we're also supposed to be ready to witness in those situations. 1 Peter 3:15. Again. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That means that, I would say, if somebody's mistreated you and you continue to treat them with respect and kindness when you can, the hope is that they'll ask what makes you tick. So why do you behave this way? And that gives us a chance to share Christ with them. And I know I've told this story before, but at work, I remember there was a guy, and he was the type of guy who could fly off the handle pretty easily. And he had, he worked in a department that I would bring stuff to, and it was just the type of thing where he thought I had done something wrong in whatever I was doing. And anyway, so he got mad, and he wouldn't talk to me. And this went on for, I suppose it went on for a week or so. But I decided, you know, I'm not going to say anything to him about it or anything, but whenever I see him, meet him at work or whatever, I'm going to wave or say hi or whatever. It's up to him how he responds. And after another week or so, it was kind of, everything went back to normal. But if I had tried to reciprocate his attitude towards me, it probably would have ballooned into something that we'd have probably never mended. And oftentimes people don't know all the facts. Only God knows our hearts. Wait, I got to back up here a little bit. And when we're in these situations, turn it over to God. Our prayer life is important, and seeking God's will in every situation is important. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 23 says, "For even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." So we're to follow Christ's example when he was mistreated. "Should follow his steps, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." And we're never going to be able to be judged or judge others righteously in this life. We don't always know all the facts, but God knows our hearts. 1 Peter 4:19. "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." And then just a couple of comments and conclusion and a question, and how do we go about turning our case over to God? And I think it's through prayer and study and keeping our mind on what he would have us do, and just keep doing right. And I've been in this situation before. People get misunderstood in church, or something they do is misunderstood, or maybe something is not quite as another person might like it, or I'm not sure how to, but it's so easy to kind of throw up your hands and say, "Well, I'm not doing that anymore." But we need to try to be understanding of others as we work and as we serve together. We need to realize that everybody is here to serve, and that we need to work together and try to be as understanding as possible. And it's tough when you're in a situation where there's a husband and wife, and one is trying to live for God and the other is unwilling. So it's so easy to want to give up. And I don't know if anybody has that situation here. I pray not, but it's so tough to be, as Scripture says, to be unequally yoked. I just want to close with this. The greatest witness for Christ is that when we are mistreated, we act in a Christ-like manner. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the words that are given to us in Scripture, Lord. And I just pray that as we look at your word, and as we listen to the spoken word, and as we do our own studying, Lord, that your truth will become real to us, and that we will be able to live it out in our lives, no matter the circumstances, Lord, in good times and bad. And Lord, we just know that if we have our trust placed in you, that everything will be glorious in the end, Lord. And Lord, we know that the times we live in are difficult, and it's so easy to get caught up in things that are not of our own doing. And we just pray for each one who's here, and for the situation in each life. And we just thank you that you are the solution. I just pray this in your name. Amen. Closing hymn.